Lord, we give thanks that we add another name to that list and we commit this little boy, Oliver, to you, Father. We pray that each one of these will grow in their knowledge and their love of you, and that they will develop a relationship with you that will be a living relationship, a vibrant relationship. And we pray for us and our responsibility as a body. We pray for the parents. We pray for the grandparents. We pray that you would grant them wisdom and discernment as they bring these little ones up and teach them to walk in the ways of the Lord. In his name, amen. If I could just dispose of a few other notices. We're missing a lot of creche keys. The creche cupboard, we're down to one. Somebody's obviously got one in their handbag. The coffee cupboard. Oh, not the creche cupboard. Okay, apologies. It's a coffee cupboard. So if anyone has got keys to it that they can surrender, please give them to Amanda afterwards. A reminder, we've got our prayer meeting over at LEC this evening, and we'd be delighted to see you at 7:30 to join for that. On the subject of prayer, next Sunday we have a new prayer meeting starting for those that have a burden for the nation of France. And you're more than welcome to join down in the coffee lounge, 9:15 through to 10 o'clock. And indeed, I would encourage you, if you have a burden for something that you would like to share with other people, that this sort of thing develops and we become a praying church, not just for ourselves, but for the world in which we live. A reminder, please, also that our church lunch is on the 22nd, or sorry, the 20th, Sunday the 20th, is that right? No, or 22nd was right, was that? 22nd, sorry. So please make plans to join us for that. One other thing that didn't make notice board, Songs for a Summer's Evening is being presented by St Andrews University Group over at St Peter's, which is in West Liss. And there are some leaflets on the table if you would like to pick one of those up. Also on Friday evening, there is a Labrie lecture, but we didn't know what the subject was. Is John or Jill here? No? Okay, but just be aware of those that are interested in the lectures over at Labrie. There is one this Friday. Now, we're doing studies in the book of John at the moment, but this morning we're going to pause and we're going to ask a silly question for a bunch of Christians on a Sunday morning. And we're going to ask, who is Jesus? Now, hopefully, the vast majority of us in this hall this morning know who Jesus is. And many of us have a close relationship with him. But I have a real burden that we need to grow in our relationship with Christ. It needs to become a deeper relationship. We need to remind ourselves again and again just who he is, what he has done for us, and what that means for you and I. But also, quite importantly, that question, who is Jesus, is a question that many of our friends and many of our colleagues at work actually ask us. And so we want to consider something of that this morning. And you're going to get a chance to participate actually in that. But I've taken our call to worship this morning, unsurprisingly then, from Matthew 16, verses 15 to 16. And he, that is Jesus, said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And we're going to stand and praise our Lord Jesus now. Hymn number 1066, Light of the World. And the guys are going to lead us in this.
Of all
Thank you. Please be seated. Let's pray and commend this time to the Lord. Father, we bow before you this morning. We give you thanks for the freedom that we enjoy to gather in your name. We give you thanks for the lack of restriction, Father, that hinders us in our worship and praise of you. And Father, we want to pray now that you'd set us free from the things within ourselves that would hinder our worship of you this morning. I pray that you would help us to set aside the thoughts of the week that has gone and its concerns, the thoughts of today, and indeed the thoughts of the week that lies before us, Lord. Help us in this time to turn our eyes upon Jesus, set our hearts free to worship him in spirit and in truth. And Father, we're very conscious that there's a lot of other people on this particular site this morning, and we want to commend them to you. We want to pray that your name would touch their hearts, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if the young ones would like to come out, we're going to have it normally on the first Sunday. We sing, we talk, and that's one way of communication. But we're conscious in Trinity that there are other ways we need to communicate. And one of those is signing. And I confess that I have absolutely no gift in this area whatsoever. Hand coordination and singing at the same time, I'm useless. And I'm amazed each month. And Liz and the guys are going to lead us in a signing song this morning with the young people.
Good morning. We're going to do a sign song that we did some time ago, and just going to run through the signs to remind you again. And it's a joyful song. You're thinking about the joy of baby James being with us today and all the grandchildren being born to the church. So let's show our joy to the Lord. And the sign song is the joy of the Lord. So the sign for joy, the joy of the Lord will make you strong. Repeated, the joy of the Lord will make you strong. Again, the joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. Then we go on. So clap your hands and sing your praises to him. Shout for joy to the Lord. Dance and celebrate his goodness and love. Praise and glory to heaven to him. So let's sing that. We'll have an introduction first and then sing.
The joy of the Lord will make you strong. Joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. So clap your hands and sing your praises to God. Shout for joy to the Lord. Dance and celebrate His goodness and love. Praise and glory to Him. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong. The joy of the Lord will make you strong.
Well done. Thank you. The children can go back to their families now. Thank you.
Okay, so who is Jesus? I love blank faces. It's actually quite scary up here when you ask a question like that and you have blank faces. Who is Jesus? Creator? Savior? And the living God. Who is Jesus in terms of you this morning? Who? A friend? Savior? Right, okay. You see, how do you know that Jesus is the Creator? How do you know that Jesus is our Savior? How do you know that Jesus is the living God? And how do you know He's your friend? Because the Bible says so. And can you trust what it says in the Bible? Oh, right. Ooh. There's an issue in there somewhere. Well, we're going to do a little exercise this morning in who is who. Just to waken you up and get you all thinking along the right lines. So what I wanted you to do is in sort of groups of 10-ish, you're going to get a sheet with 18 people on it, okay? And as quickly as possible, because we do want to get home for lunch, I want you to just identify who each one is in your groups. And we'd encourage you where you have younger ones to let them identify first, okay? So can somebody just help me give these out? If you want to pass those out on that side, and a few pens, can you do a few on this side, Malcolm? A couple of pens. Oops, I need one. Stuart, I think. There's only one more, mate. Okay, so as soon as you get your sheet, just turn into your group. Don't be worried. If you're visiting, just join them. To the best of my knowledge, nobody in this congregation bites, okay? And if they do, tell me. You haven't got one?
We have yours.
You can have mine. Why not? As long as I get it back. There's no answers in this. Okay, there you go. Now, just as you're actually identifying, I want you to do one other thing. I want you to note down as well whether you believe them to be a real person, whether you believe them to be fictional, or whether you are just not sure, as Callum's looking at me at the moment. Okay. So real, fictional, or not certain? Thank you. Methinks there's too many teachers in this congregation.
You remember to introduce John.
I will. Thank you for the reminder, though. Eh? Okay, and anybody finished yet?
Oh, hello.
Okay, guys, we're going to give you one more minute. So flash read. Which one's which, but... just one little clue. The collection of four in the middle is all one person. Okay, so all those that are looking for four different people, that's all one person. Okay, guys, our time is up. So if you want to hold on to your sheets for the moment, and just turn yourselves around and look this way, as it were. We put the first one up, Tim. Now, just listening to you actually identify those tells us how we actually know who these people are. We know who they are through evidence, or indeed through our experience, or as Callum has just said, through watching too much television. You did say too much, didn't you? No, sorry. Right, okay. Okay, so that evidence can be real, and that evidence can be external. I mean, we'll find people in there, and I wonder, are they actually real? Let's go through who they are. Okay, top. Who's that? Real or not real? Not real. Guys, we're going to have children totally distraught today. I did think of putting somebody else up there, but I said it against it. The next one down is... Lord. Is it Lord? Is it Sir or Lord? He's a Lord, is he? But he's a Lord of the small LN. Okay. Next one. Beckham, the captain of England. Wasn't that good timing? I didn't know that he was going to be picked. That wasn't a prophetic thing, but of course he's going to captain England tonight for the first time since they lost in the last World Cup. And the bottom corner is Cameron. Okay, Tom, the next one. Yandy. I did one of these, a similar one of these with the kids at Urban Saints, and one of them said, that's E.T. Okay, and you better get the next one right. Okay, only the greatest footballer that's ever lived. Okay, I have to apologise to the next one because I really probably didn't pick his best side. He is the current president of the United States of America. And the bottom corner is Adolf Hitler. And next, Jesus. You reckon? Real or fictional? You reckon? Now listen. Thank you. I don't want to break anybody's heart this morning or destroy your faith. But that's not Jesus. Okay, it's what? It's someone's impression of Jesus. But we'll come back to that. Who's the next one? King Richard. Oh, who says Richard? You've a William. Anybody else? Alfred, Arthur. Well, rumor has it that he's Arthur. Is he real? No? Well, okay. And who's this? Who's the young lady with a haircut like mine? Kylie Minogue, did any of them, did you know that, Morris? I'm impressed. Wow. And the guy in the bottom left corner? Well, I thought you'd get all that. Right, okay, next. Okay. Matt Dawson, just to bring a sense of balance. And in the middle, we have... me! Get out of here! You need to reprofile my nose, okay? That is the current Prime Minister. How long is he going to be our Prime Minister? It is! It's Gordon... What was it? You thought it was you. You're not alone thinking it was me. Somebody over there thought it was me, too. It's, okay, probably because I had four... But it's not. Come on, serious. The top left one you might get away with. And the bottom left? The Queen. Is the Queen real?
Yeah.
How do you know? Anybody ever met her?
Yes.
In person?
Yes.
Oh, so she's definitely there. Okay. Right, the next one. George. George, real or not real? Real. Not sure. It's a myth. He's a real, not sure myth. Based on some truth. The dragon's real. I have to confess, as an Irishman, I've got a love for Patrick, but to have your patron saint and not be sure if he was actually real is a bit of concerning. And the next one, I loved your answer on the phone to this one yesterday. Who is this? Stalin. And I'll tell you that somebody thought it was Saddam Hussein. But there you go. A young Saddam Hussein, I guess, in the end. And the last one, guys. Mickey Mouse. Right, I'm not going to ask the other question. We pass on that one. We've destroyed people's... Okay, guys, just throw those off for a moment. We know these people through experience, or we know them through evidence, external evidence, internal evidence. And when it comes to Jesus, we have the same thing. That picture of Jesus is a picture that many people think of. It's actually... We in the West have got a terrible habit of having Jesus, particularly the baby Jesus, with blonde hair and blue eyes, which is an absolute travesty and a load of nonsense in terms of reality, because his mother, of course, was a Hebrew. And when it comes to who Jesus is, a lot of people struggle to accept who we believe Jesus is and who Jesus himself actually claims to be, that he's the Son of God, that Jesus takes away the sin of the world, that includes yours and mine, that he was crucified, that he died on that cross, that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead, that he ascended into heaven, and most exciting of all for us, that one day he's going to come back to judge the world. Because, of course, if people believed those things, then the world we live in would be very, very different. And for us, you see, if we don't understand who Jesus is, then we're going to struggle to understand and accept what he has done, what he is still doing, and what he will one day do for each one of us individually. And yet, by any normal standard of evidence, and George is our resident expert in terms of archaeology, but in terms of all that non-biblical evidence and all the rest of it that's out there, we have 10 times more evidence that Jesus existed than that Julius Caesar existed. Jesus has been dead 2,000 years and risen again, and yet there's more evidence that he existed than that you and I exist. What evidence is there that you exist? That's about it. And a few people, a few hundred people who might know you. But other than that, you don't exist. There's no real evidence as such. And yet there is no book in the world that has been examined, taken apart, and put back together again more than the Bible. And if we're to believe what it says, we need to understand what it actually is. And Nigel has reminded of us that that's the word of God. It's something we can trust. It's not something set off to the side. And I just want to highlight this morning for you three things as we go through our service that the Bible actually says about who Jesus is. And the first one is Jesus is our creator. We've prayed about babies this morning, and we believe that every one of those lives was given by God. Here's what it says in John 1 that we read a number of months back when we began. In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God, and with this Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from Him, and His life gave light to everyone. And as we've already unpacked in our studies, when the Bible talks about the Word in that sense, it's talking about the Logos, it's talking about Jesus. So Jesus is our Creator. And the second thing that the Bible tells us, and it tells us many, many things about Him, is that He is our Savior. Now, can we have up Romans 5, 6 and 9? And this is so important. He not only made us when things went badly wrong, He provided the means for us to be fixed and sorted out. Christ died for us at a time when we were helpless and sinful. No one is really willing to die for an honest person, though someone might be willing to die for a truly good person. But God showed how much He loved us by having Christ die for us, even though we were sinful. He died for us before we asked for forgiveness. And that's such an important point to remember this morning, because, you know, we will often forgive each other when we say sorry. But Jesus died for us before we got to that point. And here's what it says in the CEV. But there is more. Now that God has accepted us because Christ sacrificed His life's blood, we will also be kept safe from God's anger. And that's a good point for us to just pause this morning and just have a moment of quiet reflection and confession. I had to do one of those unpleasant jobs that dads have to do from time to time. The drain blocked on the kitchen sink. Now, in the old days, it meant getting out a spanner and getting underneath and getting very, very mucky. And I thank God for modern technology and for Sainsbury's, because there you will find a little bottle of stuff that works absolute wonders. And you pour it down that drain and it clears it. You see, because what happens is when I wash all the dishes, because I do most of the dishes in our house, okay? I'm claiming that while all my girls are away. When we wash and all the bits come off the plate, there's always bits that go down the sink. And what it does is eventually it all collects around the pipe. Ask your dad to show you the next time he's doing the sink, okay? And there it is. And all this muck and gunge just builds up. And it actually gets very, very smelly and horrible and not very nice. And it stops the water flowing. And as pastors think strange things, you know. And as I was clearing this drain, I was struck by how much that is like my life. Because what happens in our life is sin, you see. All the nasty things we do, we say, we think, they all clog up the pipe, the relationship that we can have from God. And it stops the Spirit flowing. Someone said to me recently, what can we do that we can improve our worship? You want to improve your worship, improve your Spirit flow. And that involves confession. It involves clearing all the muck, clearing all the gunge out that's hindering your relationship with God. I want us to just pause now and have a moment, personal moment with God, as we bring to Him all the gunge in our lives, all the sin, all the things that offend Him. And as we bring these things to God, we remember that His promise is to forgive us. And that's a wonderful truth. Let me just remind you of one other thing about that drain clearer that I bought at Sainsbury's. It ain't cheap. It's very expensive. You want to clear your drains using that, you're going to pay for it. And you know, what clears our relationship with God wasn't cheap, because we've spoken about it this morning already. Because it cost Him the life of His very own Son. And we're going to remember that this morning when we come to break bread a little bit later on. I'm going to ask Tom to put up a different version of the Lord's Prayer this morning, just for us to read together and remind ourselves of how Jesus actually taught us to pray. And this is our response to God's forgiveness. So let's read together. Father, help us to honor Your name. Come and set up Your kingdom. Give us each day the food we need. Forgive our sins as we forgive everyone who's done wrong to us. and keep us from being tempted. Amen. And the third part of what I want to say to you this morning is, who is Jesus? He's our coming King. And in Acts, when we studied it back last year, we were reminded of this. They're standing watching Jesus after he has ascended into heaven. And we're told, why are you men from Galilee standing here and looking up into the sky? Jesus has been taken to heaven, but he will come back in the same way that you've seen him go. And then in the book of Revelation, the message puts it like this. On his robe and thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Lord. And the fact that people may choose to ignore him, they may choose to reject him, will not change the fact that he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords and he is coming back. And one day, every one of us will stand before him. And we give thanks this morning that we stand before him as his children. And we're going to stand now. And our musicians are going to lead us through a series of songs relating to that. We're going to sing Blessed Be Your Name. We're going to sing You Are Holy. And we're going to sing Yesterday, Today and Forever. If you would stand, please. I'd ask Johnny to lead us in our worship.
First, and the women copy them. And so we'll run through the first verse first. white and the women sing the text in yellow. So what we're going to do is run through the men's first, and then we can just listen. And then we'll go through again with the women's as well, and we'll do it again to not talk about anger. So this is just the men singing. As you can see, it repeats, so it's not that hard.
Bow down before.
Thank you. Please be seated. I want each one of you, you've received a card, some of you. You've got about 5 seconds to look at it and then pass it to the person beside you. And just do that while I talk. But I want each one of us to be encouraged to grow in our understanding of who Jesus is, to understand what he has done, and to realize what that actually means to us. Because there is a real danger today with everything that the world would tell you, with everything that it pours into our minds, and indeed with the busyness of our own lives, we get caught up in so many different things. And although Jesus is right there, we just don't see it. Has that card managed to find its way along each row? Okay, quick guess. Okay, quick flick of it. Just make sure everybody's had a look at it. And whoever ends up with it can hold on to it if they want. Okay, we all had a look at it? Anybody not seen it? What does it say? And you all seen that straight away? Anybody still not seen it? The secret is to try not to focus on the white bits, which looks like a bit like Arabic Chinese writing or whatever. But it actually says Jesus. And it says it in big, bold letters. It is so clear. And that's the way it is in life sometimes. Jesus is there right in front of us, guys. But we just don't see him because we're not looking with the right eyes. We're not looking with eyes that want to see him. We're not looking with eyes that are seeking him. And that's what we need to do this morning. We're going to take up our offering for the Lord's work here. And then we're going to, look, we're running a little bit behind, but we want to practice a new song that we were going to sing last week. And the guys have worked at it. And so we'll bend the time thing. We'll sing it, Johnny. And we're going to just take a little bit more time this morning to praise God before we come to the Lord's table. Johnny, if you would play for us, we'll take up the offering for the Lord's work. Thank you. As we give thanks for the offering this morning, we want to think of another offering that we have. And on the back of your notice board, you'll notice that we're introducing the elders and the deacons, and we've got to the heights of introducing our overseas brethren. And John Hoffman is a deacon. I'm not going to read what it says there, but John, if you would stand up and wave for the benefit of folk that don't actually know who John Hoffman is. And we really appreciate the offering of the time and effort and energy that all those who serve alongside myself as elders and deacons, and indeed the many others that contribute here on a Sunday morning getting this place ready. Let's just give thanks. Father, we confess that all good things come from you. Every blessing we have, including the breath we breathe, is a gift from the living God. And we give you thanks now for these tithes and offerings and those that are given monthly. And we want to pray, Lord, that you would grant wisdom as we giving thanks for deacons this morning, Lord. It's their responsibility to look after this and distribute it according to your leading and guiding. And we pray for George and the deacons, as they're now called, infamously, and pray that you would bless them, Lord. Grant them great wisdom and discernment in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to come to one other song that we're going to practice in a moment with a prayer, You Fed the Hungry. But before you do that, hopefully coming before you is a little card, another card. I'm giving a lot of these out today. When you look at it one way, it says the wages of sin are what? Death. And then you flip it over and it says the gift of God is eternal life. And you know, in that little verse from Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, there is amazing power and truth. The wages of sin are indeed death, but the gift of God is eternal life in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And once those get to the back, whoever gets those, I'd like those two back, please, because I don't have quite as many of those once everybody's had a look at it. Johnny, do you want to lead us through this song, whatever way you're going to introduce it for them? Thank you. If you would just remain standing, we're going to come to communion. And as we do that, we're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross to the Gaelic tune. Can I just say a big, big thank you to our girl singers and lady singers this morning. There's an awful lot of effort has obviously gone into preparing for today and for Johnny and the guys in particular with the music they've provided. It makes such a difference to our worship. And the effort you put in is a blessing and a benefit to us. And so in Christ's name, we give you thanks this morning. We're going to sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And let's use this as our prayer as we approach the Lord's table. And Stuart is going to come up and conduct that part of the service for us. Johnny, if you would lead us in. Thank you.
Please be seated. We commonly call this the table of communion or the Lord's table. Today I'd just like to emphasize the word communion. The Oxford Dictionary defines it as sharing, participation, and fellowship. And that was ever God's will for us. That he would be in communion, in fellowship with us. But that fellowship was broken. At the fall, that fellowship was broken. And all through the long pages of the Old Testament, we get various ways that God approaches people. And he is indicating that there will have to be a final way that he will come back to be in communion with his people. We think of, obviously, of the Last Supper being that first communion. In a sense, it was the very place where there was the least communion. The Lord was indicating how he was to be remembered. But the disciples that were there they were bickering, they were jockeying for position. There was one there who was about to betray Jesus. The actual Last Supper was not a place of communion. But it was a place where the Lord was indicating what was about to create that communion. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me," as he was going to, very shortly afterwards, die an agonizing death. But far more than that, he was to stand in our place. As Jim has made very clear this morning, there was only one way that we could be brought back. We were beyond the pale in every sense, but we were brought back in Christ's blood. So, true communion could not be restored until sin was dealt with. And we come back this morning to this real, that communion is complete and it is full. What Christ did on that cross was total and was never to be repeated. And so we do as he has asked. We remember him. There will be another meal. Jim has made very clear this morning that Jesus is coming back. He is coming back for everyone who has believed and does believe in him. And he will take them to be with himself, and there will be a meal, such a meal. The prophets of old almost run out of words trying to describe it. And so we stand in between. We stand in that in-between time when we know what is to be and we know what will be, but we don't see it realized yet. But we have this meal, which is real food, physical food, but it is also food to our souls. So as we come to the Lord's table, let's just take a moment of quiet and let us just prepare our hearts to receive this food. If I could have my helpers come up, please. The Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. We do not presume to come to this, your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so as to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We welcome all believers in Jesus to this, the Lord's table. But this is serious. If you do not normally take the bread and wine, please just let it pass you by. And similarly, we ask children to discuss their faith with an elder before partaking. Thank you. Has everybody been served? Let us eat together for thanksgiving. Paul continued, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" The Lord Jesus said, "Drink you all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Let us drink together with thanksgiving. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Let's stand together and we'll sing, "Great is the darkness that covers the earth." Thank you. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them sing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power for ever and ever. Amen." We'll sing once more, "All Heaven Declares."
Beauty of the Lord, forever he will be.
Now bless the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Please be seated. Prayer ministry for anybody who would like to pray will be with David Harris and Pam Chambers afterwards, probably over here and towards the curtain. Coffee downstairs. And prayer meeting tonight, please, at LEC at 7:30. Thank you very much.
And if you would just like to return the pens and the boards and the last couple of cards that were sent round about life and death, but just put them on a table here, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.